Cuba has fascinated Americans for decades, but the socialist island has been off limits for many for 50 years because of the U.S. trade embargo. Last week, the Cuban government tossed out a pair of long-reviled travel restrictions. In 2011, President Obama authorized tightly regulated people-to-people tours, allowing Americans to go. And here now is Andrea Shea Wendt with a Boston gallery owner.
A 45-minute flight from Miami lands us in a whole other world. I climb onto a big white tourist bus with 24 other Americans. The reason we're all in Havana is Michelle Wojcik. She owns La Galleria Cubana in Boston.
It's extremely difficult for people to understand Cuba if they've never been here. It's really been demonized or exoticized, and it's quite complex.
Michelle deals exclusively in Cuban art. She's traveled to Havana 8 times before, always on her own, but this time she's gone to extraordinary measures to take American art collectors along.
And I just had so many really wonderful clients that have wanted to come to Cuba, and when I realized I had the opportunity to do it, I just felt I needed to do that.
To make it happen, Michelle teamed up with Sylvia Wilhelm, a Miami-based Cuban-American with a U.S. license that allows her to organize people-to-people cultural tours. This trip's angle is artistic, but also humanitarian. Michelle is a social entrepreneur and sees her 5-year-old gallery as a project. On this trip, she'll take her clients into her artist's home studios so they can get a glimpse into what it's really like to live and work in Havana. She also hopes it will deepen their relationships. But the 40-year-old dealer has another goal, to sell art. Our first stop is painter Adele Bourdon's place, not far from the hotel. Adele is 60, and he's been painting professionally for 37 years. This is a huge moment for him.
He's going to prepare mojito, yay!
Two of Bourdon's paintings hang in Steve Zelkowitz and Amy Samuelson's Wellfleet home. Together, they own 9 works they bought at Michelle's Provincetown Gallery. With icy mojitos in hand, the couple recalls growing up in the 60s, the aftermath of Fidel Castro's revolution, the Bay of Pigs invasion, and when the U.S. trade embargo was first imposed on Cuba.
It's like, we're really in Havana.
I mean, it's wonderful to see the artist. It's wonderful to see his family and have them invite us here, and it's great.
You know, you're welcome to flip through anything because he happens to have a lot of work.
One piece features a dark-skinned woman in a long red dress peering over her shoulder as if she's being watched. Another shows a man with jet black hair and a chaotic technicolor shirt, his mouth stretched wide into a howl. These images are a lens into Bourdon's view of life on this beautiful, closed, politically fraught island. Like a lot of Cuban artists, he often paints isolated characters, shadowy forms, boats symbolizing freedom and escape. Michelle says art is one of the only ways Cubans can express themselves.
Artwork as an outlet for one's thoughts, one's feelings, one's challenges makes for really strong work and very interesting, very layered, very emotional work.
Michelle discovered Adele's work on the internet in 2007, and they've been close friends since. She holds one of about 30 licenses issued by the U.S. Treasury that lets her import Cuban art. A few times a year, Michelle flies to Havana, meets with her artist, then carries a trove of their work back to the U.S. At the gallery, she stretches the canvases, hangs them, and makes the deals.
Because the sales really go far. I mean, the money from sales for them really support their families.
Un ingreso estable.
Yes, a form of income that is stable. More importantly, he is part of a small group of artists that grew with a gallery.
Entonces uno siente.
So they feel it's their gallery.
Es mi gallery.
It's his gallery.
Ownership is a new concept to most Cubans. President Raul Castro, brother of retired Cuban leader Fidel Castro, made a limited number of small independent businesses legal here only 2 years ago, and they're cropping up everywhere. But artists have been allowed to engage in private enterprise since the 90s. American tourists can't buy Cuban cigars or rum on this trip, but because of an exception to the U.S. trade embargo, we can purchase Cuban art. The logistics are complicated, though, and Michelle's clients have a lot of questions.
Do you have dollars only? Okay, so we're going to do the calculations.
There are two forms of Cuban currency, pesos for Cubans and cucs for tourists. It's pretty confusing. American debit and credit cards won't work, so you need to bring a lot of cash with you. Michelle knows full well how tricky it is to do business here. She juggles a notepad, writing down passport numbers so she can report her clients' sales to Cuba's Ministry of Culture.
You know, in some ways, I'm a little nervous about the trip because I'm giving them exposure to the artists directly, which, of course, as the middle person, cuts me somewhat out of the picture.
By sacrificing her usual commission, though, Michelle is serving a larger goal, to improve the lives of Cuban people. A decade ago, she worked at the World Policy Institute, researching the embargo's economic and social impact. She says plenty of people reject the idea of Americans doing any kind of business with Castro's Cuba, a country notorious for repressing its people and punishing virtually all forms of political dissent.
You know, there are certainly Cubans that fled Cuba at the time of the revolution that would not be behind this. I do get some pushback, but it's not very common. And of course, this has changed quite a bit over the past 10 years. I think there's been a little bit of a softening.
Three of Michelle's artists are scheduled to visit the U.S. this year for shows at her galleries, so she needs to bring a lot of their work back to Boston. On the bus, she coaches her clients on how to pack their purchases into cardboard tubes.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get us the biggest tubes they have. There's a guy that makes them.
In her hotel room, Michelle describes what she needs to do before returning to the States.
I come home penniless. I try to pay people as much as I possibly can because it's so difficult to pay back in the United States and figure out how to send money. Typically, I return with between 120 and 150 pieces of art.
In the end, Michelle helped make about $25,000 in sales for her seven artists. She says painter Adele Bourdon is thinking about buying his family a new car. When I ask Adele how he feels about his work hanging in American homes, he replies this way with a wink through Sylvia.
He says when a beautiful woman buys a painting, he says, please put it in your bedroom. So he's there too.
More seriously, though, Adele says he'll be painting feverishly to get ready for his big trip to Boston's South End in March. He can't wait to see Michelle and her clients again. And Michelle has decided to take another group of American art collectors to Havana in February. That's Here and Now's Andrea Shea in Havana, Cuba. You can see her terrific pictures and videos at hereandnow.org. Up next, the Oregon Trouble Festival, Here and Now.